Okay, we're beginning here with Masechet Yoma. As the name implies, Yoma means the day, which is the unique day, the one day of the year, which is referencing to Yom HaKippurim. But the sect is known by its Aramaic name, which is Yoma. In the Tosefta, at other places, we do find that it's called Yom HaKippurim. But here in the Bavli, it has that unique standing, which is either Yoma or Yoma Rabo, the unique day or the special great day. Now, in terms of Yom HaKippurim and how we're beginning the Masechta, in the context in which Yom HaKippurim is presented in the Torah, it connects it to other events that have taken place. First of all, the main parsha for the Avodat Yom HaKippurim is found in Parshat Achrei Mot, and by the fact that it starts Achrei Mot Shnei Bnei Aaron, already connects it back to the Mitat Nadav Ben Avihu, which is found in Parshat Shmini. By connecting it there, it connects it back to the Miluim. Miluim is the seven-day process preparation, Shivat Yimei HaMiluim, and then the eighth day, Yom HaShmini, which was the consecration of the Mishkan. There were 7 days of, quote-unquote, preparation, that led into the eighth day, which was the Yom HaMiluim, which put the Mishkan into service and brought about the Hashrat HaShkinah, the presence of the Shkinah in the Mishkan. As the Ramban says in Parshat Truma, as well as his introduction to Sefer Vayikra, the Shkinah, Sheshara B'Har Sinai, the Shkinah that was present on Har Sinai, then went and was Shoreh B'Toch HaMishkan. And so the Ramban sees the Mishkan as a continuation of the presence of Hashem and the Ma'amad Har Sinai. And therefore, you also would expect, which is true, that the Miluim and the presentation on the eighth day match up or have a connection back to Ma'amad Har Sinai. And that's true as well in terms of both the Karbanot as well as parts of the service. So if that's true from Har Sinai to the Miluim, then as a corollary to that, which we explained before, there's a connection between the Miluim and Yom HaKippurim. That means that Yom HaKippurim is connected back to the Hashrat Shekhinah of Har Sinai. And that we find with the Karbanot of Yom HaKippurim are very similar to the Karbanot that were brought on the eighth day of the Miluim. We know that it involves Hashrat HaShekhinah. We know that Yom HaKippurim also involves the Kohen Gadol entering to the Kodesh HaKodeshim there in the proper manner with the Ketoret, as opposed to what happened on the eighth day of the Miluim when Nadav and Avihu enter in an inappropriate manner with the Ketoret. So there's a thematic and even textual connection between the Shivat Yom HaMiluim, or really the eighth day, when the consecration of the Mishkan and Yom HaKippurim, and it also takes us back to Har Sinai. And that's part of the uniqueness of the day of Yom HaKippurim. In addition, we know that major parts of the Avodah on Yom HaKippurim involve Tarat HaMishkan or Tarat HaMikdash, as opposed to generally where Karbanot come for Kapara. Over here, many of the Karbanot are the Taher Mitumot B'nai Yisrael, to consecrate the Mizbeach, to consecrate the Mishkan, to be Metaher the Mishkan. And again, that is both true in the beginning process of the Mishkan, the consecration of the Mishkan, putting it into service. It's also true in Yom HaKippurim. So it has that additional aspect to it of not just Kaparat Avonot, but also that aspect of being Metaher, the Makom HaMishkan. And again, it reminds us of that eighth day of Miluim. And Masechta now begins with a parallel that the Gemara will take up between the Yom HaKippurim and the Shivat Yimei HaMiluim, which is Shivat Yamim Kodem Yom HaKippurim, Mafishin Kohen Gadol Mibeito Lishkat Parhedrin. 7 days before Yom Kippur, they separate out the Kohen Gadol from his house and bring him to the Lishkat Parhedrin or Palhedrin. See, in the Gemara will discuss why it was called that. But he's then sequestered for 7 days prior to his service as the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim, similar to what happened by the Mishkan, that you had the Shivat Yimei HaMiluim prior to the eighth day, that Aaron uvanav stayed bePetach Ol Moed. They lived Petach Ol Moed. They were sequestered as well, parallel to that case. Umatkinin lo Kohen Acher Tachtav. In addition to that, we bring up a backup Kohen that can back him up, Shema Yireh Bo Psul, because maybe something will go wrong with the Kohen HaGadol. Most problematic or most likely is Tuma. If he becomes Tameh for whatever reason, then he can't serve as the Kohen HaGadol in Yom HaKippurim, so we need a backup. The likelihood of it happening, probably not very high, although there is a possibility. The Gemara discusses the other reason to bring a backup in, is that everybody works a little harder and a little better when they know that their replacement's sitting right behind them. And so to keep the Kohen Gadol on his toes, and to make sure that he was Zariz Badavar, we have his replacement sitting right behind him, so that he knows that we're not worried. If he doesn't want to really do this, then there's someone else that will do it for him. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Isha Acheret Matkinin Lo. We also prepare him an additional wife, Temetamut Ishto, because maybe his wife will pass away. Shenemar, Vichiper Ba'ado Uva'ad Beito. Part of the Kapara, these are part of the Viduim that take place on Yom HaKippurim. There are a series of Viduim that the Kohen Gadol will do on Yom Kippur, and we'll discuss those throughout the Mishnayot. But here, in doing those Viduim, they move progressively. It starts out with the Kohen Gadol and his family. Then it starts about more broadly with the Kohanim as a whole, and then it moves to all of Bnei Yisrael. And the Pasuk, which describes it, says, V'chiper ba'do uva'ad beito. Beito zo ishto. Beito references to his wife. So the kapara includes his family, but includes his wife as well, implying that a Kohen Gadol must be married, must have a wife, in order to do the avodat Yom HaKippurim. So Rabbi Yehuda's fear is, if his wife passes away, then he's disqualified from doing the avodat Yom HaKippurim. And just like we worry about Shema Yirah Bo Psul, we also have to worry about this other prerequisite for him to perform the services on Yom HaKippurim, which is that he be married and have a wife. So we bring up a backup wife. In that sense, the Gemara will discuss exactly how we do that, because it's not simple to have a backup wife set up, because he has a current wife. And so we have to deal with that situation, how exactly they did this. Amrulo, Imkain, Ein L'Davar Sof. Chamim respond to him and say, if that's the case, Ein L'Davar Sof. We also have Ein L'Davar Sof by Psachim. We had that in Mishnayot, Psachim and Yoma. I think those are the only places where they're mentioned, this concept of Ein L'Davar Sof, which is there by the Bdika. Shema Yigrei Achuda. We're worried about the Chuda moving around the Chameit. Where it says, if we worry about that, then we're going to worry about it forever. Because as long as there's someone in the city who didn't check his house yet, then everybody has to keep checking. So it's going to be a circular thing where it'll never end. And there it says Ein L'Davar Sof. So the same thing is brought up over here, which is Engain Ein L'Davar Sof. Because if you're going to get him a wife, so the way that it's expressed here as well, you're going to get him one wife, get him two backup wives, maybe two of them will die. So on and so forth, three, four. So you have to wonder where the end is if you're going to bring him a wife. Truth is that Rabbi Yehuda's claim is not so far-fetched, and Chachamim's claim is not so great. Tosafot already raises the issue that if you deal with probabilities, we have this in other places like in Yibum, they say, Choshishin mita de'achad. We worry about a single person passing away, we don't worry about multiple people passing away. I mean, if you're dealing with probabilities, there is, every person has a probability of passing away. Actuarially, you can figure out whatever that is. But then if you add in a second person to that, then the numbers drop significantly. Not just a little bit, but they can drop significantly. If that's the case, then what is really their claim against Rabbi Yehuda? And so Tosafot over here starts to try to figure out, you know, the fact that he's giving three or four different ways to try to solve the problem, that the problem is probably better than the answers that you can come to, which is that Rabbi Yehuda has a decent claim. Chachamim have a claim that doesn't really have a lot of weight against what Rabbi Yehuda says. So Tosafot over here mentions a number of ways to get around it. He says, we don't worry about death in a very short period of time. That's his first explanation, which is, you're right, we're choshishin the mita. We're choshishin the mita over a large period of time. For a large period of time, you can say that maybe someone will pass away, and then we won't worry about multiple people passing away. But you're telling a very, very short duration here. But then we're not choshishin the mita. We don't think about it in that way, because people usually show signs of passing away. It's not something that happens suddenly. Now, look, it could happen. Unfortunately, things happen suddenly. But generally, we're not choshish. The probability of something like that happening are very low. And that's why we're not choshish over here for mita, is because the duration is just too short to make it worthwhile to worry about it. So that's one possibility of how to answer for the Chachamim, or why they think Rabbi Yehuda is wrong. It's just because we're dealing with very short time frames. The other way to work on it is that the truth is, the only reason that we're dealing with this, or you would even worry about choshish the mita, is because we are elevating the status of Yom HaKippurim. We're elevating up the status and saying, listen, in general, we wouldn't worry about a situation like this. We wouldn't worry about Mita. We wouldn't worry about another wife. Why are we doing this? Because it's not any day. It's Yoma. It's the only day. It's Yom HaKippurim. It's the Kohen Gadol. So then we take out extra steps to do that. So they say, look, if you're going to take that extra step, you're giving an extra wife, then why don't you bring two wives or three wives? That's something that if you're going to already enter into that world of bringing these extra steps, that's far-fetched enough that there's no difference between one wife and three wives at that point, because it's just something that's too far-fetched and too far away. And so they push back against them and say, look, we'll deal with Shema Yerebo Psul. There, even though it's slightly far-fetched, there are other reasons to deal with it. Tuma is more frequent than death, yes. Beyond that, we talked about the fact that it also causes the Kohen Gadol to be more zariz. So in that situation, we will bring in a backup. On the other hand, with the wives, it doesn't seem to be necessary to do something like that if we're just doing it for the Maila of the day and the Maila of Yom Kippurim, because it involves, first of all, other human beings and their feelings and setting up a situation that's not so simple. And beyond that, it's just a chashash that's far-fetched enough that we don't want to go down that path. And so Tosafot gives answers in that vein, trying to explain why the Chachamim reject Rabbi Yehuda's solution. All right, it's not Atam. The Mishnah over there, the Mishnah over here is in Masechet Parah. So just like over here, Masechet Yoma begins with this. Masechet Parah in Perek Gimel also has a similar Mishnah which says, Shivat Yomim Kodem Sreifata Parah, Hayu Mafrishin Kohen Asreifat Parah Mi Beito, that 7 days before the burning of the Parah Duma, they used to sequester the Kohen Gadol before he began the process of Sreifat Parah, Lishka Shal Pnei Abira, where he came to the Lishka Pnei Abira, which the Gemara discussed what the Bira is. Tzafona Mizracha, on the northeastern side. The Lishkat Beit Ha'Evin Haitani Kret. And it was called the Lishkat Beit Ha'Evin. V'lam Nikra Shema Lishkat Beit Ha'Evin. So, that's right away. Why is it called Beit Ha'Evin? Shkol Maseah, B'Klei Galilim, B'Klei Avanim, B'Klei Adama. All of its avoda is done with Kelim that are not Mikabel Tuma. So these are Kelim, Klei Galilim, are made out of, Rashi over here is Tzvei Bakar, which is that they're made out of dung, which is not the Mekabel Tuma'ah. Rashi in one place, the Rabbi Kiv Hager mentions it, we mentioned when we went in Shabbat, in one place, Rashi mentions that Klei Galilim is Klei Shayish, is marble. And Rashi says it in one place, but everywhere else, Rashi says it Tzvei Bakar, and Tosafot takes issue with Rashi in the one place that he mentions that it is marble. So most everybody believes that Klei Galilim, Galal, in general, in the Gemara is used in that vein. That would be something that is dung. Klei Avanim is made out of stone. And Klei Adama is as opposed to Klei Cheres, which uses clay and then bakes it in an oven. Klei Adama is something where either you put it in the sun, you bake it in the sun and it dries out, or it's something that has a solid enough features to it originally that you're really carving out of the Adama, the Klei, rather than forming it and then drying it out. It's one of those two, but all of these items, because of the nature of how they're made, are not mikabel tuma. My time. Why is it that you have to use all these kelim that are not mikabel tuma? Isn't the kohen tahor? Kevan de tvul yom kasher bepara. Since a tvul yom is kasher bepara, detnan. Metamim ayu akohen asoreif et hapara. They used to be metameh on purpose, the kohen, who was going to be soreif et hapara. Umatzbilin oto. And then they take him to the mikveh. Otzi miban shel tzdukim. In order to undermine the position of the tzdukim, shayu omrim, v'mereve shemesh haitan aseit. The parah aduma can only be done by someone who's gone to the mikveh and then had the sun set on them. Takinu lehu rabbanon. So therefore the rabbanon, as an offset to that, instituted that he uses klei galalim, klei avanim, klei adama. Delog lekablu tuma. So in order that it wouldn't be any kabla tuma, ke'eche delog lezalzalu ba. So that they will not denigrate it in any way. You run a risk here. They want to take issue with the position of the tzdukim. Now, taking issue with the position of the tzdukim involves basically being metame the kohen gadol. The chachamim believe that the kohen or the kohen gadol who does the sreifat ha'parah can be a tvul yom. Tvul yom means that you are tame. For instance, you came into contact with the sheretz, you went to the mikveh, and now you'll be tahor when the sun sets. Between the time you go to the mikveh and the sun sets, you're known as a tvul yom. In that scenario, your tuma drops down a level, but you still have issues, meaning that tvul yom is mutar b'maaser. You're still asur b'tumah until you have harav shemesh, and you're asur b'kodashim until you have harav shemesh. But in between, you've had what we call klishuta tuma. There's a weakening of the tuma. You're not full-fledged tuma. And a tvul yom is allowed to perform the avoda of the parah aduma. On the other hand, the tzdukim believed, based on the drashat psukim that we'll get to, the tzdukim believed that the parah aduma can only be done by someone who has done harav shemesh. Only someone who has had the sun set on them. So the chachamim, in order to show the tzdukim that they're wrong, used to intentionally be mitamei the kohen gadol, take him to the mikveh, make him into a tvul yom. Now by doing that, you start to risk this idea that if you're mitame the kohen gadol on purpose, that people will take less seriously the issue of tuma and tahara vis-a-vis the parah aduma. So what they did on the offset was they made everything else super l'chumra, l'mala. That we said everything, all the kelim that he used can't be mekabel tuma, so on and so forth. So they brought the other extreme in order to offset or balance the fact that we're making him tame, tumat tvul yom. There is a machloket amongst the Rishonim. Over here, Tosafot says, we're only mitame tuma de rabbonon. We don't really make him tamei mido raita titvul yom. It's interesting because the question is, would that really work in terms of the tzdukim? Right? The tzdukim already have issues with the Rabbanan, and they didn't hold many of the things that the Rabbanan instituted, including possibly Tuma de Rabbanan. So if you're metamei the going gadol with Tuma de Rabbanan and make him into a tvul yom de Rabbanan, it might be that the tzdukim don't think he's tamei at all. And then have you really accomplished something? The answer might be yes, because still, in the eyes of the people, that's still considered to be a tvul yom. That Tosfot says it's only done midrabanan. There are others that believe that it's done even do'oraita, that we mitameh him do'oraita to make him into tvul yom do'oraita, not into a tvul yom dirabanan. But because of that, we have this other offset, which is we use only these kelim that are super tehorim. On the other hand, when it comes to the actual avoda itself, the kol maaseh b'klei avanim is only in this preparatory period, in the period leading up to the doing or the sreifat ha'parah. When you get to the actual sreifat ha'parah, you have to take the ashes into Mayim Chaim El Keli. Over there, we don't demand klei avanim because it's actually the opposite over there. The reason that klei avanim and klei adama and klei galim are tehorim and not mikabel tumah is because they're quote-unquote not really kelim. They don't have a shem kli on them. Since they don't have a shem kli on them, that's why they're not mikabel tumah. So the reverse will happen once you go into the avodat ha'parah. It'll be just the reverse. When you go ahead and do the avodat apara, you have to put the mayim chayim el keli, you have to put it into a kli, then there you need a real kli. So it's going to be just the opposite. You'd be less likely to want to use a klei ev and a klei galalim and klei atama because they have a lower status of kli, and that's why they are torim. So that's what Tosafot mentions over here, that when we say kol maaseh b'klei avanim, that's talking about during the period leading up to the maaseh apara. But in the maaseh apara itself, we use real kelim because that's what you want. The Mishnah says you can use klei avanim and klei galalim. But that's only saying, making a statement that it's less likely that you would be mutar to use them, and we still allow it. But that doesn't mean klei avanim is all about this tuma in the period of the 7 days leading up to the parah aduma. And Tosafot limits it that not to the actual performance of the avoda by the parah itself. Now the Gemara wants to know, my tzafona mizracha. Why did we sequester him on the northeastern side of the birah? So kevan de chatati. Again, since it's a chatat, because by the parah aduma it uses the term chatat, even though it's not a chatat in the classic sense of a chatat, it's not ba'de chaper, it's for tumah and tahara here, it still has, the Torah calls it a chatat. The chatat zuna tzfona. And the chatat in the Mikdash is kodshei kodashim, and kodshei kodashim have to be shechted on the northern side of the Mikdash. So therefore, it's on the north. Uchtiv ba, and it also says about the parah aduma, when the Kohen sprinkles the blood from the parah aduma, he has to do it from Har HaZeitim el nochach pnei Ol Moed. He has to be facing the entrance to the Ol Moed. If he's standing on Har HaZeitim, he's be on the eastern side of the Beit HaMikdash, and he's facing towards the east, towards the doorway, towards the Ol Moed of the Mikdash. So if that's the case, facing west, but he is standing on the eastern side. He's standing on the eastern side, which is Har HaZeitim, facing back towards the Mikdash, which is right west of where he is standing over there. So therefore, we say, Tekinu Le Rabbanan Lishka Tzfona Mizracha. So they picked for him this northeastern side, Keichid Lava Lehekeira. So be known that that's the special location for the one doing the Parah Aduma, because it has this association with the Parah Aduma being north for Chatat and east for Har HaZeitim. And so the two together make it into a unique location, the place called Beit HaEvan. Ask, why don't we put the Kohen Gadol going into Yom HaKippurim there? Right? We're going to see we put him in the Lishkat Palhedrin. So one answer might be that the avoda of the Parah Aduma is all outside the Mikdash. So therefore they put him in a Lishka that is on the northeastern side towards the outer outskirts or the outside of the Mikdash. We'll see in a second. Whereas for Yom HaKippurim, they put him in a Lishka that's inside the Mikdash. Because all the avodah of Yom Kippur is inside the Mikdash, and therefore the significance is to be inside rather than outside. That's one reason we don't use it for Yom HaKippurim. The other reason is that if we put him there for Yom Kippur, it would lose its significance as Beit HaEvan. But if it's a Beit HaEvan, and it's known for the northeast corner for the Parah Aduma, you start sticking in the Kohen Gadol there also for Yom HaKippurim, then no longer would be a heker just for the Parah Aduma, because you would also associate Yom HaKippurim with it. So in order to separate it out and make it unique, therefore, this is unique for this circumstance, the Parah Aduma. My Bira, so what's Bira? This we have a machloket in other places in Shas, which is, what's it mean? Bira, Amar Rabba Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Makom Haya B'Har HaBayit, U'Bira Shemo. Rabbi Yochanan says it's a location, a specific location on Har HaBayit called Bira. Eshalak HaShemar, Kol HaMikdash Kulo Karui Bira. Bira is a reference to the entire Mikdash, not to a specific location. Shnemar, Habira Asher Hechinoti. When David HaMelech talks about buying the plot of land from Arabna Yibusi and then getting it ready for Shlomo and presenting it, he says that this is the Bira Asher Hechinoti. Here we're referring to Bira, it's not a specific location. It's referring to the Mikdash as a whole. So Bira, according to Rish Lakish, means the entire Mikdash. And so that's what it means over here, that we separate him out onto the Lishka Shal Pnei Abira, a Lishka that's part of the Mikdash. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan says Bira is a specific location. And so obviously this Lishka was near that, whatever that location Bira was, on Harabayit, in the Mikdash. Specifically, it doesn't tell us what the location is, but Bira has a more particular reference than to the Mikdash as a whole or Harabayit as a whole. Right now, the Gemara moves on and says, Menahane Mile. How do we know this? We've had two presentations so far. One presentation is our Mishnah, which says that on Yom HaKippurim, he separates out 7 days before. And the second one is the Mishnah and Parah that says, for the Parah Duma, he also separates out 7 days prior to doing the Sreifat HaParah. Where do we know this from? Where is the Limud from? So, Amar Rabbi Minyume Bar Chilkia, Amar Machsia Bar Yidi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kra. Pasuk says, Kasher Asa Bayom Azeh, Tziva Hashem Lasot L'chaper Aleichem. You can see here the quotes from Vayikra Chet. Vayikra Chet is speaking about the Shivat Yimei HaMiluim, leading into the Yom HaShmini. And over there it says, Kasher Asa Bayom Hazeh, just like you did today, Tziva Hashem Lasot L'chaper Aleichem, Hashem commands you to do, in order to atone for yourselves. Lasot, elu masei parah. What does it mean, lasot? Whatever you did today, you're going to do again? That's when it comes to the masei parah. Lichaper, that is, elu masei yom ha-kippurim. So here we extrapolate, or we take a limud from the Shivat Meulim, and we say that also applies to parah dumah, it also applies to yom ha-kippurim. That sequestering of 7 days is necessary by these two events. Now, Bishlama Kulei Krab Parah Lo Mitukam. You can't set up the whole pasuk as referring to the Parah Duma because the Chaper Ktiv. It says the Chaper, and Parah Duma is certainly not for Kapara. And so for that reason, it can't be the explanation of the pasuk. Upara La Bat Kaparahi, because the Parah Duma has nothing to do with Kapara, it has to do with Tuma and Tahara. On the other hand, Elaima Kulei Krab Yom HaKippurim Ktiv. Let's say the whole pasuk is banking about Yom HaKippurim. Because you could say Lasot Lechaper. Asot and Lechaper comes to teach you that what you do on Yom Kippur at the time of Kapara, that's when you have to separate this way. And let's say that the Parah Duma does not need it. The Gemara says, Amre Yalif Tziva Tziva. We have a Gzeirah Shavah also, which is Ktivacha Tziva Hashem La'asot. It says here that Kasher Asa B'Yom Hazeh Tziva Hashem La'asot Lechaper Aleichem. So we have a Tziva Hashem La'asot Uktiv Hotom. By the Parah Duma it says, Zot Chukat HaTorah Asher Tziva Hashem. Say more. Hashem said, so here you have an instruction and it also was Tziva Hashem. So you have Tziva Hashem, Tziva Hashem. Malahalan para, Afkan para. Just like in Sot Chukat HaTorah, that's in Parashat Chukat where the Parah Duma is explained and the process is given. So to the Tziva Hashem over here, we'll refer to the Parah Duma. Makan Prisha, Afkan Prisha. Just like over here, you require the sequestering for 7 days. So too, by the Parah Duma. Vema Tziva, Tziva de Yom HaKippurim. We also have the word Tziva appear by Yom Kippur. Why don't we make the Gzeresh of it that way? That it says about Aaron and Achremot, that he did exactly what Moshe had instructed him.
Tosfot asks over here, well, if you're already making the Gzeirah Shavah with Tziva Tziva, then what are you going to do with Lasot Lechaper? Now you have three things speaking about Yom HaKippurim. He says, don't say over here that they're throwing out the Havamino, that Lasot is also Yom HaKippurim. But no, rather, they're going to have them all here. So Tosfot goes through different permutations of what the Gemara wants to do now, once it has Tziva, Tziva be Yom HaKippurim. Does it want to really mean now that it's all about Yom Kippur and nothing else? Or is it trying to suggest if you have Tziva, Tziva for Yom Kippur, then you can add in Parah Duma and Karbanot from the Chaper? Or maybe Tziva, Tziva plus Lasot plus the Chaper is what you need in order to be similar to Miluim, and it's only referencing to Yom HaKippurim. So he goes through these different permutations in order to understand what stage the Gemara is here. When it says Tziva Tziva Yom HaKippurim, what is it actually thinking about in terms of Yom Kippur? Is it Yom Kippur only? Is it now, because we have another thing for Yom Kippur, we want to add in other things? And so Tosfot goes through a number of those options. So when it says those are different. Donim Tziva D'Lifnei Asiyah, Mitziva D'Lifnei Asiyah. Both here by the Miluim. And by the case of Parah Adumah, the Tziva precedes the actual instructions about what to do. So tziva is the actual command to go ahead and do it. Whereas on Yom Kippurim, in denin tziva da achrasiya, that tziva over there is a commendation to Aaron that he carried out what he was instructed to do. It's not a tziva in terms of this is what you will do. It's rather he did what he was instructed to do. So then we won't connect between tziva da achrasiya and tziva lifnei asiya. So the two are not a good gezeirah shava because thematically they're a different type of tziva. They're referring to a different command. One's a command in order instructions to do. The other one is the carrying out of the command. So let's say it's the tziva karbanot. Because it also says there by the parshiota karbanot and the shivat me'emolim, biyom tzavotot b'nei Yisrael, which is a lima that's used in Zvachim many times to connect between all the karbanot. Once we know a din, by a given karban, we're able to extend it to the other karbanot because of this biyom tzavoto, as well as the fact that we know that kodeshim have to be done during the day. Biyom tzavoto et b'nei Yisrael, on the day that he commanded b'nei Yisrael, which tells you that the avodat hamikdash is only done during the day. So danim tziva mitziva, vein danim tzavoto mitziva. We darshin tziva tziva. In the case of the parah adumah, the same word is used. Whereas over here, it's the same shorish, but it's not the same word. It's tziva and tzavoto. Yom tzavoto versus tziva. Might have kamina, would make a difference. It's the same type of word, it's the same shorish. Vatano. Don't we have this limud? The Gemara brings this up all over Shas. Anytime it wants to make Zeir Shava, that's not exact, or not exactly the same word, it brings up this braita, which is Shava Kohen, Uva Kohen. Zohi Shiva, Zohi Bia. This is a Zeir Shava that is brought with regards to Mitzorah, Tzarata Bayit, as to how many times the Kohen has to come back and forth. We lock up the house, and we do a certain procedure to the house. And then, when he comes back the next time, when do we make a determination that the house has to be destroyed? Or when do we make a determination that it's tahor? How many times does that process have to take place? In the Torah, it's very unclear. The psukim make it unclear how many times he's coming back. There, based on gzeirah shava v'shava kohen u'baal kohen, zohi shiva, zohi bi'ah, the Gemara dashes that there's an extra series of 7 days in which the kohen comes back again and checks that are not clearly mentioned in the Torah, but they do it based on this gzeirah shava. It says once is shava kohen and once is shiva'al kohen. Says, oh, just like by the case of shava kohen, it means that he came back after 7 days. So too, when it says v'al kohen, it means he came back after 7 days. So the Gemara says, well, look, you're mentioning Shav and Ba. They have nothing to do with each other. Yeah, they're both movement of the Kohen, but you're saying Gzeirah Shava. Who says you need an exact connection, the exact words between to make the Gzeirah Shava? So the Gemara says, Hanemile, Echadaleka de Damile. Over there, there's no alternative. I mean, there's Shav and Ba. We have nothing competing to make the Gzeirah Shava. Over here, you have, Aba Echadika de Damile, Mid de Damile, Yofinan. Over here, you have competing words. We have Tziva, where you can match it up exactly. So why would you choose the word that's not exactly alike versus the word that is exactly alike? So because of that, we're going to opt for the Gzeir Shava that relates the words exactly versus one that is kind of similar. And that Tana Debi Rabbi Shmuel is basically a precarious type of limud. It's a limud out of necessity, a limud because we're stuck, not because that's the way we'd optimally like to make a Gzeir Shava. Right, so we've discussed this many times. When you have this Mesorah, so then why are we even asking questions on a Gzeirah Shava? It should be a given. The answer is that we're not exactly sure what the Mesorah was. Some say, like the Tosafot says, they had a certain number of Gzeirah Shavot that they knew existed, and they were limited by that. There was a number. Others, and Tosafot mentioned this as well in other places, they knew the word that was a Gzeirah Shava. They weren't sure exactly how it was applied. They knew that the word Tzivah here was used in a Gzeirah Shava. They weren't exactly sure as to where it was used or how it was used. So you have to know with Gzeirah Shava that it's not so clear always that they had the exact information about, number one, what the Gzeirah Shava was, and number two is what it referenced to me. Where was the counter word that dealt with the Gzeirah Shava? The Mesorah is that this word is available for Gzeirah Shava and that we made a Gzeirah Shava. Sometimes they have to solve that problem by working out where exactly was applied. So it's not clear when we say that a Mesorah, it's right, you can't just make up a Gzeirah Shava. You have to have some Mesorah that there is a Gzeirah Shava that exists here. The question of how much they knew, that's a different point. It may be that they knew the word Tziva was used in Gzeirah Shava, but they didn't know exactly what. Now they're trying to narrow down, where does it make sense that the word Tziva is used as Gzeirah Shava? They have the information, they're not making it up, they're not just saying, oh, Gzeirah Shava. No, they know that Tziva is Gzeirah Shava, how do I apply it? So that's why, even though you need a Mesorah for Gzeirah Shava, it's not clear that you had all the information in that Mesorah. So now the Gemara says, L'chaper, Elu Maseh Yom HaKippurim. So the Gemara gives up and says, L'asot, okay, that will give to Parah Adumah. But now, what about the Chaper, Elu Maseh Yom HaKippurim? Ve'ema, Kaparah DeKarbanot. Kapara is a very broad term. Who says kapara has to refer to Yom Kippur? It might have to do with any time you use kapara ta karbanot. The truth is, it's not to the exclusion of Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur also involves kapara ta karbanot. It's not just, okay, karbanot and not Yom Kippur, it would be Yom Kippur and the karbanot, rather. So you'd have to sequester. So over here, when we talked about the tzavah de karbanot, over there, Rashi says, Latzrik kokoeno evade mingdash, pisha de karbanot et tzibur. Over there, Beyom Tzavoto, we would say for any carbon tzibur, a kohen has to be sequestered before he works. On the other hand, here, Rashi says, Kabarat de Kabarot means kohen Kabarot Yachid. Is would it go to even Kabarot Yachid? So it's different than what we asked before in terms of the Kabarot or Kaparah. Over there, we were suggesting that the Tzavah de Kabarot would have been the Kabarot Tzibur. We were asking for Kabarot Kabarot, that might involve the Kabarot Yachid as well. So Rashi says, Miyadin and I kohen mitrame. You want to sequester someone, you have to know which kohen is going to do the avoda. We don't know which kohen is going to do the avoda over here because all the kohenim of that Beit Dav work on the day. It could be any one of them that becomes a kohen. So how do you know who to sequester? Rashi says, that's not a problem. Amrei. Alam aloni bai prisha lekulei mishmeret Beit Dav. He said, it's okay. So you just force the whole Beit Dav to be sequestered. You don't have to sequester one individual, you sequester the whole Beit Dav. 7 days before they come up for avoda, you sequester them. Now, obviously, this would be a heavy price to pay in terms of coming up to do avoda in the Mikdash. Not only would you have to come up for the week that you did avoda, you'd also have to show up 7 days before the day of the week that you came in order to be sequestered during that period of time. So where it says, Dani davar shekavulo zman, mi davar shekavulo zman. We're done something that has a fixed time from something that has a fixed time. Now, this isn't fixed time or kavua zman in the classic sense, because if that was the case, then Bafuke karbonot to choyoma, to exclude karbonot every day, that's actually not true. Because, for instance, the karbon tamid that is brought every day is considered to be something that's kavua lo zman. We know that because karbonot that are kavua lehem zman are doche shabbat and are doche tuma. So the tamid is one of those items that is doche shabbat and doche tuma. So it is something that's called kavua lo zman. So the Gemara here means kavua lo zman, not in the sense of something that has a fixed time to be brought, but rather in more in the sense of Zman grama, that it's something that happens on a periodic basis. Kavula zman, it happens once a year, it happens three times a year, it happens only a certain amount of times a year. It's not something that's a daily activity of the mikdash, and that's what they're separating between. Yom Kippur is something that happens once a year. So just like the miyuluim in that sense were a once in a lifetime experience, they were also once a year, but they were also once in a lifetime, so too, whatever is parallel to which would be something that happens only on an interval basis, not something that's a daily activity of the mikdash. And that's the separation they're making. It has to be something that is on an infrequent basis rather than a daily basis. So Gemara says, V'ema regalim. So why don't you say that it has to do with the regalim? Who says sequester the kohen or the kohanim or the kohen gadol before the regalim in order to do the avodah of the regalim? They only happen on a periodic basis. So Gemara says, no. Do something that only happens once a year with something that also only happens once a year. Miluim only happened once a year, again, also once in a lifetime. But so till Yom Kippur is the only holiday that appears once a year. Mar says, Lafuke Regalim, Zalab Pamachat Pishana Ninu, they don't happen once a year, because the Regalim are a package deal of the Shloshit Regalim. So Mar says, Ve'ema Regal Echad. It's alright, so just pick one of the Regalim. Alright, okay, so now you say, not all three of the Regalim, we'll do it for one of them. Well, how are you going to determine? You're going to say, I don't know which regal to pick. All right, pick Pesach. It's the first of the regalim. Oh, Chag HaSukkot. It has tons of mitzvot. I mean, there are ways to determine which one of the regalim. All right, you figure out a way to determine which one is the right one to pick, whether it's Sukkot or whether it's Chag HaMatzot. So we deal with prisha, separating out 7 days, a sequester of 7 days for one day. We do the sequestering of 7 days for the one day of Yom Kippur. From prisha shiva, the shiva to me'amiluim, the yom echad, which is for the yom ha'ashmini. So you want a parallel setup. 7 days for one day at the end. Not, ain't danim, prisha shiva, the shiva. Not gonna say that you separate out 7 days to have a 7 day holiday afterwards. Prisha shiva, the yom echad. To learn it out of the Miluim, which is 7 days for one day. So ve'ema shmini. So what about shmini atzeret? Shmini atzeret, that it's prisha shiva al yom echad. You separate out 7 days. It's a regel bifnei atzmo. It's a one day regel. Donim, davar she'en kedusha lefanav. Me davar she'en kedusha lefanav. We deal with the yom hashmini, which is all days of chol leading into the yom hashmini. And then yom hakipurim also, 7 days of chol leading into yom hakipurim.
versus Yom HaShmini, which got 7 days of Sukkot sitting right before it. So it's not a parallel case. Tosfot right away asks, what about Shabbat? I mean, it's not 7 days of Chol. You have Shabbat that sits before it. So Tosfot says, Shabbat's not Yom Tov. We're talking about things that are instituted by Beit Din, things that have, based on the calendrical settings. Shabbat comes and goes no matter what. It's every 7 days. That's not something that's unique in any way, meaning that everything has a Shabbat before it. By definition, if you're going to say the eighth day is when it happens and you separate 7 days beforehand, that means you have to cross over a Shabbat, by definition. Right? Same by the Miluim, same by Yom HaKippurim. By definition, you're going to cross over a Shabbat. So therefore, we ain't davarim davar sheish kedusha lefanav, mi davar shein kedusha lefanav. Where it says, v'lav kal v'chomer hu? Wait a minute, isn't that even a kal v'chomer? If something that has whole days before it requires sequestering, something that has kedusha before it, which should end up in an elevated kedusha in the end, that should definitely require sequestering. Lo hazektiv. Doesn't the pasuk say shir asah b'yom hazeh? Tziva Hashem lasod l'chaper eleichem. Hazeh means kazeh, similar to it. So kazeh says it has to have a parallel to the day. Parallel in a sense, yes, your kal v'chomer is right. But Kazeh says you gotta have it be almost exactly alike, or something that's parallel, which means 7 days of Chol going into a day that is special, not something that has 7 days of Dusha in front of it, even though that would be a Kal v'chomer from a logical argument, but from the Pasuk that says Kazeh, it's gotta be similar to the Yimei HaMiluim and the Yom HaShmini. Pravashi Amar, Mi Ika Mide De Ika Rego Lo Bai Prisha, Tofel Dide Bai Prisha? Wait a minute. Shmini Atzeret is a regal bifnei atzmo, but it's still also a corollary to Sukkot. So now you're going to tell me you don't need sequestering for Sukkot, but you're going to need sequestering for Shmini Atzeret. Vapilu the mandamar Shmini regal bifnei atzmo. Even according to the mandamar, we'll get to the Gemara in Sukkah. Machloket is whether Shmini is a regal bifnei atzmo or not. Hani mili the inyan pazer kashev. That only has to do with pazer kashev. Aval inyan tashlumim, tashlumim derishonu. So it has a unique status in terms of certain items. But in terms of tashlumim, which means that if you forgot to bring your olot riyah on the earlier days, the requirement of the karbanot riyah that you bring when you come out of the other regal, if you don't bring them on the first 7 days, you're allowed to bring it on the eighth day as a makeup for that. The fact that it's tashlumim derishon already says that it is a corollary of Sukkot. The fact that it's called Shmini Atzeret should already be the giveaway. The fact that it's called the eighth means that it's connected to the 7 days beforehand. And that means, yes, it does have a certain amount of status as a regal bifnei atzmo. But here, according to that, Mandamar is with Pazer Kashev. Pazer Kashev is an acronym for the items that we'll discuss in 1 second that's separated out from Sukkot. But nevertheless, it still has a connection to Sukkot because that's not. The Mishnah says in Sukkah, Mishlo Chag Bayom Hiltov Arishon Shechag. Someone who didn't bring up their karbanot chagigah, didn't bring up their olot ri'iyah, they didn't take care of these things on the first 7 days, they're qualified to bring it on the eighth day. I mean, 8 days is a tashlumim for the first 7 days. So you see that Shmini Atzeret is not so independent of Sukkot. It has a connection still to Sukkot. And what this Pazer Kashev is, Rashi tells us, the first one is a pay, is pais, that it has its own lottery system. That is because with regards to Sukkot, the karbanot of Sukkot were actually divided up by the mishmarot. There were so many karbanot that all of the 24 mishmarot were there, and then they had a cycle about how they brought on each day and who brought the karbanot. We'll get to that at the way end of Masechet Sukkah. It's a little complex. Right, you have to come up with a pattern that the 24 mishmarot get all the karbanot, and then in the end, 2 mishmarot get a little extra, but it's not done through lottery. It's done through a fixed system of how they got it based on where it fell out during the year and whose mishmar it was. But when it comes to the karbanot of Shmini Atzeret, they were subject to the normal lottery. In order to determine who got them, subject to the normal lottery, they didn't go through that cycling that's done in the Sukkah. It's totally separate. That's one. Number two is Zayin. Zman Liatzmo. Zman Liatzmo is Levarech Shechiyanu. Gets its own Shechiyanu. We know that when it comes to Kiddush on the night of Shmini Atzeret, you make a separate Shechiyanu, as opposed to when you have, for instance, Pesach. For the seventh day of Pesach is Yom Tov, you don't make a Shechiyanu because it's not a regel bifnei atzmo. Then the next one is regel. Veresh is regel. Regel le'atzmo. Rashi says, she'ein shem chag ha'sukkot alav. That the name of chag ha'sukkot is not associated with it. Now, wait, so that's a question. What does Rashi mean over here? It could mean one of two things. The way Tosfot interprets it, right? Tosfot says, regel le'atzmo, she'ein yoshvim b'sukkah. Rashi says, that shem sukkot on it means that you don't have to sit in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeret. So that's what it means, Ein Shem Sukkot Alav. You could argue that Rashi means here, Yegel B'fnei Atzmo, is exactly what you were suggesting, is that you don't call it Chag HaSukkot HaZeh, like in Davening and in Birkat HaMazon, but rather you call it Shmini Chag HaTzeret HaZeh, in order to separate it out from Sukkot. Next is, Kuf is Korban Li Atzmo. So, Ein Karbano Shaveh, the Chol Shor Yemot HaChag. There's a different Korban for the rest of the Chag. The rest of the Chag has 14 Kvasim, and it has the Parim that shift around every day, and Elim or Shnayim, versus on Shmini Atzeret, where you have Parachad, Ayelachad, and Shiva Kvasim. So there's a very different sequence of Karbanot on Shmini Atzeret, then you have the rest of Chag HaSukkot. Then you have Shin, which is Shir Li Atzmo. Shir Li Atzmo, as Rashi says, that Kol Shir Yemei HaChag, Midaber Me'in Gezel Matnot Aniim. The Gemara in Sukkah lays out what the Shir Shel Yom is, the Grah, and Minhag HaGrah in Eretz Yisrael, we actually do this, we say the Shir each day. We say the shir that is associated based on the Gemara with that day of Sukkot, but thematically they have to do with the matnot aniim. Whereas the shir of Shmini Atzeret, enu me'en asif. It doesn't have to do with the gathering in of the crops. Below Pirshulano Ezu Shiro, I don't know exactly which one is the shir of Shmini Atzeret. Tosafot over here notes that, yesh shayu omrim lamnatzeach ala shminit v'beit knesset. That's what they say is lamnatzeach ala shminit, which is what we say on Shmini Atzeret, based on the Gra, that it's a Metzeach al HaShminit. Shema gama levim ayu mormi oto b'beit HaMikdash. And doesn't say so, maybe that's also the same Shira that they used to say in the Mikdash. I'm not exactly sure what the Shir is, but there is a separate Shir Shoyom for Shmini Atzeret. The last one is Bet, which is Bracha b'fnei Atzmo. It has its own Bracha. As Rashi says over here, Bracha sheyim uvarchim l'tfilat chayei HaMelech. He used to give a special bracha for the longevity of the king's life for his throne. They used to give a bracha on the Yom HaShmini. That parallels what happened by Shlomo HaMelech in the consecration of the Mikdash, that on Yom HaShmini he sent the Am home, by Yivarchut HaMelech. There they gave a bracha to the king before they leave. So similar over here on the Yom HaShmini, we give a bracha to the king. That's the way Rashi explains it over here. Tosafot already raises the issue and says, Perish Rashi. Rashi says, Regel b'fnei atzmo, she'en yoshvim b'sukkah. That's number one. Bracha b'fnei atzmo. He says, not what Rashi says here, but rather what he says in Sukkah, which is, b'yom ha'shmini chagat seret hazeh. That he says, bracha b'fnei atzmo is that we change it in davening. That's why Tosafot says before, when Rashi says, Regel b'fnei atzmo, Rashi says that we don't say chagat sukkah. It doesn't mean he didn't say it. It means you don't sit in the sukkah on that day. Versus bracha, which is the difference in tefillah and in birkat hamazon, that you change what the name is. It's not called Chag HaSukkot anymore, it's called Shmini Chag HaTzeret HaZeh. So that's, then he brings me Tosefta. The Tosefta says, no, the bracha is Mevarchim Et HaMelech, which is what Rashi actually says over here, that the bracha is Shemevarchim Et HaMelech. But then he has to deal with what is the bracha b'fnei atzmo, we explained, but what is then Regel b'fnei atzmo, if he doesn't think that it is dealing with sitting in the sukkah. So then Rabbeinu Tam Mefaresh, Bracha b'fnei atzmo, Birkat HaMazon u'tfilah. Rabbeinu Tam agrees with what Rashi says over there, that it has to do with the switch in the Birkat HaMazon. Regel b'fnei atzmo, Mefaresh l'inyan lina. And he says that the Regel b'fnei atzmo is about the lina. So as opposed to Tosafot over here, wants to suggest that Regel b'fnei atzmo is the switch in the davening and the Birkat HaMazon of the name, and Bracha is the Birkat HaMelech. Rabbeinu Tam says, no, what Rashi said about the Bracha is right. Bracha means that we change it in davening and Birkat HaMazon. What's Regel b'fnei atzmo? Now what Rashi says that you don't sit in the sukkah, but rather, lina. It requires an overnight stay. That's a Regel b'fnei atzmo, which is that anytime you bring a korban to the Mikdash, on the day that you bring that korban, you're not allowed to leave, you have to stay overnight. So then Tosafot gets into a large discussion about this. Do you have to stay overnight all 7 days of Sukkot, or is it only on the first day? Is it only the day that you bring the chagiga? Do you have to stay overnight on the eighth day? He goes through a large discussion about this and trying to determine. And it comes out in the end that you won't have to stay lina on every night of Sukkot, because there's a possibility you don't bring a korban on one day of Sukkot, because you have shlamim that will last you a number of days, so you won't bring a new korban every day. And there's a possibility you won't have to do lina on some of the interim days of Sukkot. So therefore, Tosafot concludes that there's only a requirement of lina on one of the 7 days of Sukkot. In addition to that, there's another din of lina with regards to the eighth day, independent of Sukkot, and that's why it's differentiated. The requirement on the eighth day to stay overnight and not leave the next day. That we learn out from Pesach, which is found in Parshat Re'eh. It says, "Ufanita baboker alachta lo lecha." That only in the morning do you leave and go home. You don't leave on the day that you bring the korban. And so because of that, the Rebbeinu Tam wants to suggest that there is an inyan of lina on the eighth day, and that's what's unique. That's what it means, regel le'atzmo.
that it demands special lina because it's called the regel b'fnei atzmo, independent of the lina that has to do with Sukkot. And that's how the Rabbeinu Tam deals with it. Okay, we'll stop over here.